Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome, welcome. It's great to have you here this afternoon. And boy, we still got an awful lot to get to over our next 2 hours. We've got Raiders, Seahawks preseason tickets to give away tomorrow. You're going to have to come to the station and pick them up sometime tomorrow before you go to the game. But if you work in downtown San Francisco, that'd be
perfect.
Convenient for you, even, one might argue.
Maybe someone on the peninsula calling, telling you it'd be easy. Come here, pick them up, go to the game.
We're inviting you to go way out of your way to go to a game that...
Free tickets!
Football!
Raiders Seahawks tomorrow, Coliseum.
11 on 11.
I promise it'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make any.
I will for you.
That's Gianna's guarantee that tomorrow will be fun. Let's hope it is. I would rather the Raiders take a healthy 75-0 loss than lose two guys having fun. You know, that's just the way it is.
Doesn't mean you can't, though.
You can.
You can.
I can't.
Yeah, no, you can.
You know what I probably shouldn't? And this is from Wax here on the text line. He says, you know what, D. Bruce? You can't argue with stupid. That's why I don't argue with my mother-in-law, and it's why you shouldn't argue with the text line. Thank you, Wax. I appreciate it. You know, somebody asked me here on the text line, if 30 years from now we look at Cap like we do Al Lee, how will we feel? That is the dumbest question you could actually. If 30 years from now, Colin Kaepernick is the most transcendent global athlete of anyone's lifetime, yeah, that'll be a big surprise.
Yeah. we need to evolve.
Yeah, that'll be a shock. That'll be an absolute shock. I would imagine that there's a better chance Hawaii joins the continental United States before Colin Kaepernick 30 years from now is the next Muhammad Ali. You obviously have no idea who Muhammad Ali is or was and what he really did, really stood up for. Money where his mouth is stuff.
Yeah.
So please stop. There is an awful lot of intellectual dishonesty being passed along for sympathetic clickbait readers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Here's what Colin Kaepernick has done. Absolutely nothing yet. But he started a conversation. I was well aware of police brutality and racism. He only brought this conversation to sports talk radio. And if we had, how about this? Michael Jordan, money where his mouth is, $2 million. Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James all went about this in a very well thought through, matter of fact, directly hitting the bullseye of the topic they wanted focused on, not military, not national anthem, not disrespect, not First Amendment. Black Lives Matter, police brutality. They had a delivered message that was on point. And you know what? You ignored it. What this really tells me is that you only care deeply about this when the bonfire's going.
Yeah, that's what we gravitate towards.
Right. What about the sparks that these guys started? They weren't good enough for you. You know, LeBron, Carmelo, everyone had the opportunity to talk about this, and you chose not to, Twitter. There was no hashtag awesome point Carmelo, LeBron, and Dwayne Wade. That thing came and went because it had dignity attached to it, and this is now a grandiose act which has been fanned by the flames of national attention. So now you want to talk about it. You didn't want to talk about it before, so I'm going to say half of you are a bunch of pandering to the moment schmucks that cannot pretend you cared about this as much as you do until Twitter got a hashtag and you wanted to get a retweet, so you hit that up. Don't fool around with me. I know you better than you know yourselves. Then there is the text line saying, you know, Damon, the whole point about slavery is this has us in this situation now. And I agree with you. But to just bring it up and go back to that every single time, like, we can't solve that without a time machine. Do you have a time machine? Do you want to work on the problems of the, do you want to concentrate on the irreversible mistakes of the past and just focus our attention there? Or do you want to go ahead and concentrate on solutions? One person here said, Damon, would you please bring up the charity that you're involved with? Again, I'd like to donate. Thank you very much. If you would like to affect change, if you would like to do something other than hop on a popular worldwide trending hashtag, I invite all of you to go to theguardsman.org right now. The Guardsmen raise money for Bay Area at-risk youth. Bay Area at-risk youth is a huge umbrella. The amount of kids standing under that umbrella, what it takes to be classified as an at-risk Bay Area youth, it's so sad. We're helping foster kids, the vast majority of them minority children. We take them to boys and girls camps up in Mendocino. At those camps, it is determined who would have the best chance and take advantage of an educational opportunity. And those kids are put into private schools, and we fund their education to the completion of their education. And education, I'm going to tell you right now, is the only thing that will cure racial issues in the United States. It's not one of the things. It's the only thing that will cure that and a generation of bigots dying off. And that's happening.
That'll help.
That's happening.
That'll help.
By the way, remember when auntie, uncle, whoever, grandparent, blah, 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 died 10 years ago? That's why it's easier to be Caitlyn Jenner now.
Right. Life's tough enough. It's harder when you're uneducated. And it's great that there are programs like this that exists to help kids who might not have had an opportunity to better themselves. But I think everyone can take at least a little bit of this and educate yourself about the problems and the actual issues that are at hand. If you don't know, you know, I mean, now is an opportunity. At least it brings a little bit of that to attention. It was just poorly delivered.
What are we talking about? What Carmelo and LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Michael Jordan wanted us to talk about, what Collins' intention was, or are we now so wrapped in the flag? That's really what we're talking about. I didn't know Colin was trying to bring awareness to American flag and national anthem protocol.
Yeah,
but he did.
He did, yeah.
Guardsmen.org. Click the donate button. It couldn't be easier. Your money will change a life. Will change a life. One at a time. I say this at all the charity events that I MC with no fanfare. I don't tell you about these things that I do, but I do a lot of it because I care about helping the community I live in. That's when people tell me, well, you're not really from here. Yeah. Bite me. Bite me. I do more for here than most people from here ever will because I care about my community.
You do.
And I do not tell you about it because I'm not trying to gloss you over this. I'm not trying to take a bow. I don't want a single round of applause. I just want you to donate.
I will say that is absolutely true about you, Damon. 100%. You never, ever, look at me, look what I did. I donated this. I, you know, gave time to this. You are not that guy.
And I'm the biggest look at me jackass in the room.
Definitely.
But not on that topic.
No.
Because that's personal to me. That's
right.
Something that I do. Go ahead and make that donation. Guardsmen.org. You will change a life. And like I said, you know, charities like cancer. There's been money thrown at it. When your charity is throwing money at a word, the word never goes away. There's going to be a charity. There's going to be a cancer fundraiser next year and the year after that and then the year after that.
Right.
And then the year after that and then the year after that. And I do stuff with Leukemia Lymphoma Society. My friend Anju started Hack Cancer SF. We were doing something at the Fairmont a couple of weeks ago. I emceed something with my friend Kim and Kim McNicholas. Fantastic. Love you, Kim. You can throw money at a word and probably never get anywhere. You throw money at a kid, you change a life. You educate someone, you change someone's life arc. So guardsmen.org, thank you for asking. I really, really appreciate it. Oh, my God, D. Bruce, you are so white because Kaepernick did something to make you feel uncomfortable. I don't give a damn what he did or didn't do. But I do know what he did is incredibly disrespectful. He wants to see the American flag only for its worst. You know, if you look at the American flag and all you see is unjust police shootings, boy, your perspective is a little cockeyed. You know, you want to attach so much negative to that. This is the same flag that elected a African-American twice to the White House, which when I was a kid was never, ever, ever, ever going to happen. So don't tell me we haven't evolved or things are worse now. And if, you know, if Colin is only going to be the, you know, he's only going to take a bow now. I mean, let's see what happens. Let's see what he does. I don't know what he's going to do next. If all he does is trend on Twitter and sit for anthems, he will have done very little. But you were dazzled by his fireworks. Too bad you ignored the message of Wade, Carmelo, and Jordan. I guess it just shows you the only way to get attention in America is to be the squeakiest wheel. Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Right.
It's too bad that things that are presented with calm and thought and dignity aren't nearly as don't resonate. Don't resonate. You need to make a media stunt before people pay attention. So let's talk about the stunt that Colin needs to pull off tomorrow. You realize this is now his own personal Super Bowl. There has never been a guy as high profile as he was in the league that has had so much riding on a fourth preseason game. Look, if he plays great, if he looks amazing, Gabbert's leash officially gets shorter as the starter, and Colin isn't just on this team. He's the backup and plays an important role maybe real soon. Let's say he plays okay. Hey, if he plays okay, he's still on the team. Quarterback depth is a major issue for this team when everybody's healthy. You start cutting guys, guys start getting hurt. It's Jeff Driscoll time real fast. If he plays poorly, though, very few guys in the history of sports position themselves as, hey, if I have one bad game, I'm probably cut by the team and I might be out of the sport. But Colin Kaepernick did that. If he plays poorly, if he can't demonstrate, look at it this way, if his only demonstration is during the national anthem and not on third down, he needs to demonstrate moving chains on third down, or his career goes away, his platform goes away, our interest in him. Here's the thing. You think you're interested in Colin because he's a quarterback right now. The minute he isn't, you will not be interested. You will not.
It'd be much harder for him to have a platform.
You will not. People will turn away faster to their – and their, look, our attention's going to be on something else by next Thursday anyways. That's how the world works.
But do you think he's going to be Muhammad Ali 30 years from now?
No. Let's check back in 3 decades. Maybe. Don't want to sell anybody short. Damon, thank you very much. What is that website again? It is guardsman.org. Click the donate button. Couldn't be any easier. Thank you. Mike Freeman from Bleacher Report. What an interesting article that he had. He said that, you know, there is basically zero support for Colin Kaepernick in any NFL front office. Do you want to know why it's like that? It's because not because NFL front offices are inherently racist. The white supremacists of the NFL are at it again. No, it's because in the NFL, it's about football, first, second, and third. Anything else that isn't football is a waste of time to a football franchise. Again, if you're a Niner fan, you've so lost sight of that you don't remember that. But that's how it works, everyone.
They don't care if you're blue, black, green, or red. If you play good, you're on the team. They care about winning, and they care about money.
If Caitlyn Jenner could tackle, she's starting at middle linebacker.
Yes, she would be.
All right. Mike Freeman talked to 7 executives. And now, of course, you had one person take it way too far and say, you know, he said that he's as loathed as Ray Carruth. Now, Ray Carruth put a pregnant woman in the trunk of his car, dead.
Right.
And he's still in prison now. So I wouldn't go Ray Carruth, but You got to understand, that's how the NFL thinks. You are either part of the solution or you are the problem. Not part of the problem, you are the problem. Everyone has to pull on the rope in the same direction. First guy's not pulling on the rope in the right directions, gotta go.
He's out.
Every single time. I don't want him anywhere near my team, one front office executive told Mike Freeman. He's a traitor. I wish you would have expounded on that a little bit more. Do you mean traitor to the flag, traitor to the nation, or traitor to what a quarterback is supposed to be in an NFL locker room? Because the first two, he's not a traitor at all.
No.
I'm not going to say he's a patriot either. He's someone who exercised the right. That, by the way, really isn't guaranteed to him in his workplace either. But here we go. This is why the NBA doesn't even mess around with this nonsense. The NBA just says, guess what? National anthem's mandatory. This is why Jeff Fisher, even though the NFL doesn't have any defined protocol for the national anthem, Jeff Fisher and the Los Angeles Rams still sure as hell do.
Yes, they do.
New York Giants decided they were going to go dress right dress last Sunday and watch them do it all year now. You're going to have teams evaluated on their national anthem formations.
Their patriotism.
Seriously. You're going to be like, oh, you know, it's going to be like a scouting report. Be like, you know, he's a really good left tackle. He's got nice footwork, very good hands, powerful, nice burst. Also, proper helmet placement for national anthem. Hand over the heart, sings like a dove. It's going to be, this is now something that maybe teams will be looking for. One guy says he's got no respect for our country. F that guy. You didn't hear that out of my mouth. I don't think he has no respect for the country. I think he doesn't have the perspective to really understand that he cannot be the one who attaches what the meaning of the national anthem is, or that flag or the national anthem is to everyone. You know, it means a lot of things to a lot of people. We went over, what is sacred ground? What is sacred ground? It is a sacrifice. There has been a sacrifice on this ground.
Right.
Sacred, sacre, sacrifice. I think I told this story yesterday. I was in Hawaii. They said that's sacred Hawaiian ground. I'm not Hawaiian. I didn't pray to their gods.
But you respect that.
But I didn't set foot on that ground out of respect to them, out of respect to what they told me it means to them. Veterans for Kaepernick? Yeah, it trended worldwide. Let's see what kind of reaction he gets in San Diego. Not like from the crowd. The crowd is whipped up into a frenzy all the time. It's easy to do. Like, will military members who are going to be all over that field coming up to him and shaking his hand? Embracing him? Or will he be ignored? I mean, I don't think that Twitter is a representative of how America really feels about anything. Twitter is an echo chamber that serves the message you want delivered.
Right.
So this is going to be officially interesting. And you know what I would like to do? You know, people are asking me, what are you going to do about it, D. Bruce? Well, again, already deeply involved in a charity that addresses the people Colin's talking about. You know what I'd really like to do? I'd like to bring in police from Oakland, police from San Francisco, police from San Jose, and have a little, let's be honest, talk with police roundtable.
That's a great idea.
I wonder if we could get someone who is a representative of Black Lives Matter. Maybe Dr. Harry Edwards, who has asserted himself into this conversation in an incredibly delicate written way, by the way, not speaking extemporaneously about this, because the Niners kind of told him not to, I think. That's what I think. And I know he had a thing in the Huffington Post. But the fact that Colin didn't talk to him before this, only followed up with him afterwards, it's just as bad as a game plan as you could have installed to try to win the Super Bowl, man.
Right.
You seriously didn't give it to Frank Gore inside the five? Bad game plan. That's on Harbaugh, by the way. I'll put that on him. I know I'm a Harbaugh sympathizer, but that's on him.
Do you think those NFL execs, the one specifically, I don't know if his traitor statement was based on because he's a patriot or a traitor to his team, as you said, if he was a quarterback of Tom Brady caliber, would they feel that way about him?
Not at all. So. Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. If you're Tom Brady, look, Tom Brady could stand up and give a press conference about how much he likes the N-word. He's starting when his suspension's over in week 5, Gianna.
Right. So it seems a little unfair to judge him if that's the case, on what his stance is. It's not, I mean, it's judge him on the field.
Well, so, but there's also this. This is one general manager said, in my career, I've never seen a guy so hated by front office guys as Kaepernick. That sentiment did not start this weekend.
No, it didn't.
Colin Kaepernick has been persona non grata in his own locker room for 2 years now. Messages, rumors spread quickly from locker room to locker room. You know what he is guilty of? Poaching another man's squirrel.
Women and money, boys. Pay attention. Women and money.
Gianna, do you think I'm making this up?
No, I see it every day.
I think some people think I'm making this up for shock value radio. Squirrel and money is all that these guys fight about ever. That's it. It's a woman or it's cash. This guy took another man's girlfriend.
Can't do that.
Right out from underneath him. That makes the half the room start looking at you side-eyed. That's how that works. And then when you start sucking, now you just, you know, who's your friend now?
Right. No squirrels and no Skrilla. Bottom line.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, it's just, it's an awkward situation for everyone involved now. And football teams hate awkward situations for everyone involved. The last thing the 49ers want are reporters probing around the locker room who don't even know what it's like to be in the locker room, asking players who are unprepared, left college early, are just thinking about the game they played. Kenny, would you like to go on the record about the most sensitive, touchy subject in the world? Yeah, the NFL's answer to that is officially no. Yeah. We don't want to go on the record about any of this. Thank you very, very much. We got a lot of people here on hold, an awful lot. Let's start with Greg in Oakland. Says he's a police officer. Greg, how are you?
Hi, Damon, Gianna. Thanks for taking the call. You know, listen, the last couple of days about the Kaepernick thing, you know, this whole thing with the flag, he's not the first knucklehead to give the finger to the flag. He won't be the last. His 15 minutes of fame is going. Some of the things, though, the comments that come out that are the narrative that is regurgitated by everybody that is, you know, truth, supposedly. Has anybody done, in the sports world, you might call it analytics, but statistics on this thing? Here's a few statistics that might add to this conversation. You know, overall, police, law enforcement contribute to the entire homicide rate in a year, as an example. These statistics are out there, DOJ, FBI. They contribute to 7% of the homicides, and that includes the non-justifiable as well as the justifiable homicides. They're all classified as homicides. In the black community, the murders of African-American men, 90% to 93% are committed by other African-American men. The police contribute about 4 to 6% of that.
Right, and you know what? Right now, there's somebody in my audience judging you. Saying, absolutely, you, sir, are insensitive for bringing up what is empirical, actual statistics that, I mean, I've always said, and I don't care if, I've always said, if Black Lives Matter were a billboard, I think it belongs in the black neighborhood more than it does even in the white neighborhood. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
And again, now somebody's writing an email right now about how racist I am for bringing math and statistics into the conversation. I will also say that there is an incredible oppressive feeling when you have someone who is a uniformed officer now also doing the, I mean, that is, I mean, it's symbolic. It really is.
Well,
so yeah. I understand the plight of it.
Because the police are the easy target, okay? The police are, and I'm not saying, I'm not making apologies. There have been some very bad police shootings that have come to light. And those officers need to be arrested. They need to be prosecuted. If they've broken the law, they need to be punished, okay? I'm 100% on that, all right? But as it pertains to the Colin Kaepernick situation, and that's just the tip of the iceberg if you look at these stats. If he's so concerned about the condition and the problems within the black community, why in his 18-minute speech, oh, yeah, the police are beating up on us. You can take the police away from this whole conversation, and that level of homicides within the black community of black victims will remain the same. That percentage will even go higher without that regulating police authority.
Well, look, Greg, we got to get going here. I thank you very much for your call. I really do. Let's not say what would or wouldn't happen. No one really knows. But I just... Oh, God, here we go. So someone on the text line saying, Damon, what about the third verse of the national anthem? Have you ever read that? I can tell you just got off Twitter. Come up with... Here's the thing. No, I don't know the third verse of the part of the song that no one has ever sung ever, never, ever, never, ever. Did you... Oh, how about this? Did you know that today is the 70-year anniversary of Foghorn Leghorn? When he used to say cotton picking, that was not a friendly term. Foghorn Leghorn was a racist cartoon, right?
I promise they didn't read that third verse until moments ago or recently.
Right. Thank you very much. Hey, you want to change it to America the Beautiful? God bless America? I bet you most people would vote for that. Star Spangled Banner could use a little gussing up. Go ahead, change it. But remember, if the national anthem was penned by a slave-owning racist, so was the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and every single important document that founded this country. Because that's the way it was back then. It's not the way it is now.
We've evolved.
I would like to think so. We've got an awful, awful lot of people on hold. We will take your calls and come on back here to the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you so much for stopping on by today. It is fantastic to have you along this afternoon. It is fantastic to be able to talk to you about an issue that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. Of course, I'm talking about Colin Kaepernick on third down. Very uncomfortable position to be in. He hasn't been very accurate. He has a massive football game coming up. I mean, a huge one tomorrow. It's only going to dictate what happens next. And what happens next for Colin is what I think we're all very interested in. I'd like to congratulate him on drawing more attention to a preseason game number 4 than I thought would be humanly possible.
Seriously.
I mean, I've never in my life thought a 4th preseason game meant a thing. It is unbelievable. Unbelievable. How much he has riding on this game. It's his own personal Super Bowl. Poor Teddy Bridgewater, he was the other big quarterbacking news yesterday. That's why I don't want to see a lick of David Carr play another game, and we won't, according to Scott Baer. You know that Bridgewater had the highest QBR rating last season, better than Mariota, Winston, Carr, or Bortles? I mean, this is a young guy. The Vikings had a 3-year stretch there where they were just looking to replace Brett Favre with about anybody, and you forgot. You're Josh Freeman, Christian Ponder, Matt Castle, Donovan McNabb. Remember that? I hardly do, too. So that is a horrible ending to a season for him and really the Vikings before it even gets underway. Can you imagine if Adrian Peterson goes down again? I mean, the Vikings might just demo and implode their brand new stadium. Like 2 games into it, they're just like, okay, it's a house of horrors. This place is cursed.
Yeah, no doubt.
Let's go to Ryan in San Mateo. Ryan, how are you? What do you got?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
A lot of attention is being given to Kaepernick, and I'm just kind of wondering why nobody's mentioned the fact that maybe the guy was just kind of sulking because he didn't get the start, and he was kind of sitting there like a petulant child. And it wasn't until afterwards somebody said to him, hey, you sat through the national anthem, and he came up with something to say after the game.
Nah, I guess there's plenty of evidence that this has been on his mind for a long time via social media. Again, I thank you for the call, Ryan. There's not a single original thought I've seen from Colin in any post about this issue, but he retweets like a 15-year-old girl talking about Justin Bieber.
And this wasn't the first time he sat.
Right.
Right, so.
He retweets. No original content, but retweeting as the day is long. Dave in Palo Alto, what's up?
Hey, Damon Bruce. Hey, John. How you guys doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Thank you. A couple questions I would like to ask Kaepernick, and then I will kind of go into why I think he really sat out. Really quick, I just want to ask Kaepernick if he can name another country where he can go and be employed and actually not do anything and still get paid an essence of $12 million. So if he can do that, I'll power to him. I really think so. I think the reason I just think he's disinterested in football, honestly. I mean, from a distance, when was the last time this guy cracked a smile? I mean, you remember when he first busted on the scene, he was kissing the biceps. Everything was good. You know, I got a good defense. I got Frank Gore, and life is good. I get that. They got rid of your coach. They stuck with Tom Sula. You got the GM that you don't see. I get it. But, you know, in football, you're not always going to play with the same coach. There's going to be changes. I just think he didn't handle it well. I mean, what's up with him and the black visor? I mean, he's become an oddball. I just don't think he cares about football, to be honest with you. Whether he's sitting down or standing up for the flag, you look at him Friday night against the Packers. I mean, he just looked like, why am I here?
He looked like he was playing his first down of professional football. He looked so fish out of water. And here's the thing. It is a man's responsibility. It's a woman's responsibility to keep your job, right? I mean, they always say that the problem with politics is that the number one job of any politician is to then get reelected. So that's what they concentrate on instead of real change and that sort of thing. And that's what's broken with the system and so on and so forth. Hey, the job of a quarterback is to stay on the field. And this guy has not been able to play his way back on the field. You hear about the dead arm. I mean, I don't know if that's due to the surgery. His muscles have atrophied to the point where he kind of looks like somebody else now. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's recognizable about him is the jersey number. And, okay, I know what those tats look like. But those tats now look like they're on someone else's arms.
Right.
He's in a – look, I don't think there's an aspect of his life that he isn't in some way now in over his head. I think he's really in over his head professionally, personally – and we will see his commitment to social change in the years to come, not in tonight's trending hashtag. Let's go to Ben in Concord. Ben, how are you?
Hey, Damon. How you doing, man?
Doing well.
As an African-American, I completely support Kaepernick. I'm actually going to the Rams and 49ers game on Monday Night Football, and I'm not standing for the national anthem. Because as a black man, for me, looking at the flag, it doesn't mean the same that it would for a Caucasian man, because our experience in America is polar opposites. You know, I grew up in Richmond, so my perspective of the American dream is completely different from a person who lived in Walnut Creek or something like that.
Well, I doubt it at all. I bet you the American dream's the same for both. Aren't we just trying to raise our children right, marry a beautiful person, and live a happy, healthy, prosperous life? That's the American dream for everyone, man. That's the same thing both.
In essence, yes, that is very true. But I'm saying as far as the obstacles that I have to face compared to somebody else, as far as the racial discrimination, as far as the economic opportunities that I have to face or the educational opportunities that I have to face, is completely different from somebody who is Caucasian and whatnot. So as far as, like, as a white person, of course you should completely pledge your allegiance to the flag, because for you it is completely...
No, I don't do it. I don't. See, here's the thing. I keep on hearing about the white privilege I'm enjoying. Here's the thing. There's no doubt we have lived different lives, and it is because of our skin color. You get prejudged in moments that I'm not. I have enough black friends that have told me about this, that I've talked to honestly about this, and I'm going to tell you, Ben, I hear you. I really, really do. I was also one of the few people in college. I went to go see Maya Angelou speak. Before Maya Angelou spoke, which was not a sporting event, Maya Angelou played the national anthem, and then she came out and sang three African national anthems, three different African nations. One she did in English, one she did in the native tongue, the other she did in the clicking. And it was amazing.
That is amazing.
And the entire room stood at attention for all four anthems, the national one. And all I'm going to tell you is that, like, Maya Angelou is an authority on the black experience in America. And if she can still stand up for that flag and see if all you see is fabric sewn together by hate in the flag, I wish you could look at it from the other side, where you see that it is people who gave you the right to want to do this protest, people who died in battles long before our parents were ever born to secure the freedom of this country, people who are sacrificing right now, people who will never, ever, ever see their fathers, their mothers again. That, the best of America, is what I see sometimes when I see the flag. Of course, you can interpret it however you like. If all you want is oppression, that's all you're going to see. But again, Maya Angelou played the national anthem at her speech. And I just feel that she has a very good grasp on the black experience in America.
That would have been very cool to see.
Oh, she was amazing. It was the most thought-provoking night I think I spent in college. She was incredible and funny.
She is very funny.
Oh, my God. She was just so funny.
Maybe we should not focus on dividing anymore. Maybe we need to start focusing on coming together on these matters
right.
and finding ways to fix them, but right. not causing division.
But you know what? I can tell you right now that I don't even have to check Twitter to see that no, some jackass is like, LOL, Damon saw Maya Angelou in college and now thinks he's a black leader himself, or he knows the black experience because he sat through a Maya Angelou thing. Like, there's always a jackass in the room trying to make whatever progress you try to make and pull it back to, you know, again, you're tweeting, you know. People are dying in the streets, says Colin. Sometimes, yes, it's terrible. It's terrible. But there are also many, many people who go home safely every night because they were protected by police. When we come on back, more of your calls are right around the corner. And how about this? Real quick, since it's preseason, game number four, caller number four wins tickets tomorrow to the Raiders and the Seahawks. But you got to come here to the station to pick them up before 5 o'clock. If you think you can do that, good luck to you. 888-957-9570, caller number four, going to preseason game number four for the Raiders.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Congratulations to Matt in Vacaville. Matt, you'll be meeting front desk Betty tomorrow. When you come on in to pick up your ticket, she'll be greeting you with a warm smile.
Awesome. Vacaville.
Can't wait to see you tomorrow. And then enjoy the game. It's the fourth preseason game.
Woo!
Uh-huh.
Congrats.
Congrats to you for sure. We're going to finish this hour with as many as your calls as we can fit into this segment. Coming up at 6 o'clock, we're going to talk a little Giants baseball with Alex Pavlovich at 6:30. We're going to be talking some big baseball and Tim Tebow's workout. That's coming up. We still have that Tom Brady life.
That's a good life.
That Tom Brady life can be yours for $17.5 million in the Flatiron District of New York City if you want to buy that penthouse. By the way, you're going to need supermodel money to do that, not quarterback money. Giselle is the breadwinner. We will celebrate all that is her before the end of this show today. I got Larry in Alameda. How are you, Larry? What do you got?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call.
It's a pleasure.
So my question for you is this, and you might have mentioned it on an earlier show, is at the Olympics in 1968 when Carlos Smith raised their hands up, far more provocative than just sitting down and not standing up for the national anthem. What's your take on that in light of what's going on now? Because I feel like that is a revered statement.
It is. But again, the only thing that turned that really into a revered moment was time. Time turned that into a revered moment. That was a moment that, when it happened, was greeted by a divided America with probably as much angst as we're talking about this right now, if not more, because of the times.
1968.
Exactly. And thank you very much for the call. I mean, that is a watershed moment in civil rights. Right now, Kaepernick's a hashtag. And I think it's intellectually dishonest to say that Colin Kaepernick is among, you know, 30 years from now, he's Muhammad Ali. Like, let 30 years pass before you start building that statue. You're not going to want to start working on that in the old work shed today. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Jonathan in San Francisco. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, Damon. Thanks for having me. So first off, I am a huge fan of yours. I love both of you guys. You do a great job. I want to thank you specifically for the charity work that you do. My dad was just diagnosed with cancer. I didn't know that you contributed to that organization, and I thank you.
Oh, man, I hope your dad does very, very well.
Thank you.
He's in a great place. So, I'll tell you this. If you have cancer, You want to be in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Cancer that kills people all over America does not kill people here. It's an amazing place. The best of medicine is available. I wish you and your dad the very, very best.
Thank you so much. Well, look, let me share my opinion really quick. It's funny you mentioned that because I am a white person from the Bay Area. I was born and raised in Atherton. I played baseball at the University of San Francisco, Division I. And, look, my dad wouldn't be able to afford the medicine if we didn't do so well. And I wouldn't have been able to succeed like I have if I wasn't afforded, quote-unquote, white privilege. And so I want to just get on the air here to say to the black people listening that there are people that fully are in support of you and in what you're talking about here. And I think that we all should just, more than anything else, listen to what they have to say. And that's really it. I just want to say as a white person that I support what Kaepernick has brought attention to. Whether or not this was the best method, people are talking about it. I'm on the radio right now talking to you, and obviously I'm a little emotional about it. But, it's good we're having this conversation after he did this as opposed to after another unarmed black person got shot, right?
Amen.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll give you that all day long, Jonathan. Thank you very much for the call. And again, best of luck to your dad. You had one of the best calls of the days because you were on message.
Yeah.
And you wanted to talk about oppression and police brutality. The vast majority of phone calls on this have been about the national anthem. Damon, I mean, like people are like, Damon, do you realize what the third anthem of the third stanza of the national anthem is? Actually, what it is a denouncement of the black soldiers who helped the British. If you really want to get into it, I'm not here to defend anything. But again, that really hurts the narrative if you say that, or if you want to illuminate what the real mention of the stanza was. But the U.S. flag is the most oppressive symbol in the world. Vladimir Putin, line 3. Yeah. I would say that war profiteers and people who cut off the arms of children so they don't steal things and female genital mutilation, which seems to be like just another Wednesday in some countries. Again, it's really, really easy to type something as inflammatory as the U.S. flag is the most oppressive symbol in the world. You have not thought that through.
Mm-mm.
You have never probably been out in the rest of the world or have any experience or worldview to you whatsoever. Is oppression part of the American story? Yes, it is. It is the darkest chapter in the history of our country. We would all agree on that. We would all agree on that. And like the last caller said, the vast majority of people, white people, are completely on board with not another innocent black person ever being shot by a cop or anyone ever again.
No.
I am anti anyone getting shot mistakenly, accidentally, intently, with an awful reason behind it. This is why I hate guns. But that's yet another show for another group of people who are oh so reasonable, especially when they're talking about things on Twitter. We're talking Giants baseball next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.